Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians along the beautiful Southern California coast. Together we seek to grow in individual spirituality and in community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. More information can be found on our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
The first scripture reading is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. Pray like this: Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The second scripture reading is from Luke chapter 22, verses 41 through 42. He withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down, and prayed. He said, Father, if it's your will, take this cup of suffering away from me. However, not my will, but your will must be done.
As you probably know, I wasn't here last week, but I did take time to listen to Pastor Leah's sermon. You know, we talked about as we are starting a new sermon series, you know, generally she thinks that... I can't remember, frankly, if I brought this up or if she did, but generally we sort of agree that, listen, maybe the senior pastor, the lead pastor, maybe ought to start a series, but I really needed a week off after. And I think that Pastor Leah did a great job starting us out last week on this series on the Lord's Prayer. And one of the things that she touched on that I think was absolutely brilliant is she acknowledged that sometimes we do a thing and we do it sort of in rote. We do it because that's the thing that we've done. And I don't know if it's the same for you as it is for me, but sometimes going through the Lord's Prayer, like maybe where I'm going through the Lord's Prayer, and in my mind, especially if we're in a worship service, part of what I'm thinking about is what's the next thing I have to do? What's the next thing I have to lead? What's the next line I have after that? What's the next thing in the bulletin? Who's doing the next thing, and can I see out of the side of my eye if that person is ready to do that thing? Right? I was in a conference of pastors once. It was a leadership event, and a pastor got up to speak. He was the pastor from that congregation where we were all gathered in this giant sanctuary. And he said, we're going to have some music and we're going to have a worship service. And I know you all are pastors and you're usually thinking about all these things that I just said. He said, I want you to just sit there and worship. And it was an incredible gift because I don't often do that. I'm thinking about the next thing. And sometimes when it comes to the Lord's Prayer, sometimes I fall into that trap. And I know that's not a good thing. I got to do a better job about that. But one of the things that I love that Pastor Leah reminded us about is while that's like not necessarily enough, like it's still a good thing. If we say the Lord's Prayer on a regular basis, that's a great thing. We can go further. We can do more. But the Lord's Prayer, like if you heard something like that as, you know, we got to really mean the Lord's Prayer. If you hear that as a guilt trip, don't. If you say the Lord's Prayer on a regular basis, if you say some other prayer on a regular basis, that's a good thing. We can always go further. We can always be, an idea of Wesley's, we can always be more perfect. But those are good things, to engage in that prayer. I will probably not ever forget being in my late teens, maybe my early 20s, and I was going to a church on a regular basis, and I'm an extrovert, and I like to talk on a microphone, and so they asked me to be the liturgist from time to time. This is before I understood that God had called me to ministry. And I remember standing read something, a prayer for the service, but just before then, was the Lord's Prayer, and the pastor was standing next to me. His name's Stan Fix. He's retired now. But Stan was preaching the Lord's Prayer, and it was unusual. I'd never stood to him next to him when he said the Lord's Prayer, but he didn't say it in that sort of repetitive, rote kind of way that, frankly, I did at the time. He said it like he meant it. That was wonderful and refreshing, and it always stood out to me. I wonder if sometimes we're in worship together and we get to that part of the Lord's Prayer, and maybe we hear somebody, maybe next to us, maybe in another row, who says it like they mean it. But I also wonder if that's dangerous. I wonder if it's dangerous to say the Lord's Prayer like we mean it. I don't mean dangerous like it's going to do some harm to us or to the world. I mean dangerous as if, like if we say it and we mean it, then maybe we're making a commitment. If we say it and we mean it, maybe it calls us to action. If we say it and we mean it, maybe it means that we have to be different, that we have to live different, speak different, that we have to make a difference. I wonder if it's dangerous for us in that way. You see, this phrase that we're focusing on today, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Some scholars would say that this is the central part of the Lord's Prayer. And I've heard at least one pastor say, this is all of Jesus' ministry and teaching. God, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we can focus just for a moment on even the first word, thy. Of course, that's the King James Version. It just says yours in the Common English Bible, the CEB that Rod read. Thy, yours. What if we took a moment and recognized that it's not about us? Frankly, my friends, one of my griefs about our culture, about the world today, is I think we are suffering from cultural narcissism. So much of the world is me, 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 mine, 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 I. Well, friends, I'm a Christian. I think it's about God. I think it's about heavenly things and not earthly things. Does that phrase sound familiar? Does that seem like it's something that Jesus says on a regular basis? Don't focus on the earthly things. Look at the heavenly things. Look at the divine things. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Well, if we focus on divine things, if we focus on heavenly things, what then does that look like? I think we probably have a sense a little bit of what that looks like, don't we? Don't we use that phrase on a regular basis? Oh my goodness, this lasagna is divine. I went to this beautiful park. Oh my goodness, it was heavenly. Don't we have a sense of what we want the kingdom of God to look like? Don't we have a sense of what that could be? Do we have a sense, you've heard this word today already, do we have a sense of its potentiality? I think often we do. And I'd like to take a moment, and I'd like to hear from you. I'm going to turn on my iPad here so I can see if anyone types anything in the live chat. If you're joining online, I would love for you to type something in there, if you're willing, about like what does heaven on earth look like to you? When you think about something that's divine, when you think about something that's heavenly, type that into the live chat if you're willing to share those thoughts. But you all aren't left out. If you have a sense of what that, maybe something you've seen, heavenly, divine, what does that look like? Maybe it looks like the rose garden here. Maybe it looks like children playing in the grass here. I want to tell you, and I want to give you all time to think, but that's one of the things that I have loved over the course of these last months. Very often in the afternoon, I see families playing on the grass here. There's children and parents interacting, you know, masked and appropriately distanced. But there are families playing. This place feels so safe that families come and they play here. That seems like heaven to me. But I would ask, what's something that you've seen that looks like heaven? What's something that you've seen that looks divine in the world? Is there anyone? I've checked the live chat. I don't see anything there. Is there anyone who has any idea of or description of what that can be? Say it again, Rod. Machu Picchu. Good. Anything else?
Family.
Rainbows, flowers in the spring.
Laughter.
What did you say?
Laughter.
I heard laughter and another one over here. Hope. One more time, Mary Jane. Kindness. Thank you, Rod, for helping me here. Thank you. Beautiful music.
Peace.
My friends, one of the things as a pastor that I do is I go to our annual conference every year. I have a role in our annual conference, but one of the most special moments for me in annual conference is any time this group, there's 1,500 Methodists that gather together, when we're able to be in person, there's 1,500 Methodists gathered together and we sing together. And sometimes it's classic, you know, Charles Wesley hymns, and sometimes there's a band on stage and it's a contemporary song. But we sing together. It's that idea of expressing and experiencing music together. It's beautiful. I don't know if you know about this. I know that Stan has put some things in the weekly journal, the email that we send out each week. He's been talking about how to help the children, the migrant children who have been who are housed in the convention center. I don't know if you know this, but our congregation under Stan and Pastor Leah's leadership purchased, I think, 4 boxes of Spanish language Bibles that we can distribute to those kids who are so desperate for care. But there is a need, a request for Bibles, for spiritual guidance, for help. And so we have a number of boxes of Bibles that are going to be sent down there. We're still working out the logistics of that, but we're able to provide that. One of the ways that I have seen God's kingdom is through now Pastor Lori Leopold's church down there in Pacific Beach. And I don't know how aware you are of the weekly program that's been going on down there for 25 years, but there's a weekly meal. And so folks will come and volunteer and prepare and serve that meal. Our congregation has now gotten involved in that. It's different now during COVID, but you know, it used to be 100 people gathered at tables that are all set up in sort of a family style, and folks will come up to a window and receive a plate with food, and they'll sit and they'll be in community and chat with one another. And sometimes it's people who, you know, you might recognize that they live on the street. They look sort of disheveled and their clothes are dirty and they have all their possessions in a backpack and or a cart that's with them. But what's beautiful is when someone who doesn't have that same expression of self, who doesn't necessarily look like they need a shower, who doesn't have all their belongings in a backpack, someone who is there, who sits down and sees a person and looks them in the eye and begins a conversation. That to me looks like the kingdom of heaven. I've probably told this story to a few of you before. There was a time when I was in my car and I was driving down Balboa. I was right near Mission Bay. I'm on Balboa and there's a traffic light, and sometimes we see some of those folks who look pretty disheveled and they're standing there at the intersection with signs. And as I stop at the left turn light and the light's red, and so I gotta wait for a bit, and I see that there's somebody there. He runs across traffic. It was so bizarre. He runs across traffic and I didn't know where he was going until I saw that he was coming to my car, because he recognized me. Pastor Bob. One of the single most humbling moments of my ministry, that this person, who as far as I know has not ever been in a church service in his life, we had a conversation a few times on a Wednesday night at that church, and he identified me as his pastor. Ministry takes place, and it's the kingdom of God. I think we have an idea of what the kingdom of God might look like. But I think if we're honest and we open our eyes and we look around at the world, maybe the world doesn't look like what we want the kingdom of God to look like. Pastor Adam Hamilton, in a sermon at the United Methodist Church of the Resurrection, if you don't know that church, it's not only the largest United Methodist church in the United States, it's also the largest mainline Protestant church in the United States. He drew an illustration that sort of looks like something I would have got out of a geometry class. It's got an arrow that goes off directly to the side, and then another arrow that comes up at an angle like this. He says, this arrow is, this top arrow is what we want, what we think the kingdom of God looks like, and this one that's flat is what earth looks like now. And our job as people of faith, if we pray on a weekly basis, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, our job is to close that gap. Our job, our calling, what I think Christ invites us to do when he teaches us to pray this way, our job is to close that gap. Now we might want to say, well, God is all powerful. God can do all these things. Why doesn't God close the gap? And I want you to know, I believe that God can close that gap. And I believe that we are the method that God will choose to do it. So are we going to close that gap? Are we going to live as though that prayer makes a difference to us? Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, friends, I say that with the full understanding that it is not easy. The second scripture that Rod read was Jesus at perhaps his deepest and most darkest time saying, oh God, let this cup pass from me. And yet, how did he follow that phrase? Yet not my will, but thy will be done. Friends, how can we do the hard work of giving ourselves over to God's will? How can we give ourselves over to the hard work of closing that gap? How can we authentically and wonderfully imagine what God's kingdom on earth looks like? And how can we join God in God's good work of God's kingdom being present here? This is our prayer, my friends. I'm going to close with a quote. And it's a quote, honestly, that you're going to hear. I'm so excited that Bob picked a song that's going to happen in our worship service today. The founder of the Wesleyan movement, the Wesleyan tradition, John Wesley, wrote a prayer that he would pray on a regular basis. It actually comes from another tradition, not even an Anglican tradition from which he came. But this is his prayer. We call it now the Wesley Covenant Prayer. And I want to read this to you as our closing, as we move more into our worship service. But here is Wesley's covenant prayer that you might hear as a closing prayer for this message. I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be employed by thee or laid aside for thee, exalted for thee or brought low for thee. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine and I am thine. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven.